אנחנו קוראים בכתבי בעל הסולם עמוד 389.
We are reading in the writings of Baal Sulam, the article of Matan Torah. We're starting in letter 13.
ואם אמנם נמצאים בית חלקים בתורה.
If indeed there are two parts in the Torah, one, מצוות between man and the creator, and two, מצוות between man and men. Both aim for the same thing, to bring the creature to the final purpose of Dvekut with him. Furthermore, even the practical side in both of them is really one and the same. For when one performs an act of Lishma without any mixture of self-love, meaning without drawing, meaning without drawing any reward, there is no, one cannot, I'm sorry, and this is because it is a natural law for any being that anything outside one's own body is regarded as unreal and empty. And any movement that one person makes to love another is performed with a reflected light and some reward that will eventually return to him and serve him for his own benefit. Thus, such an act cannot be considered love of others, because it is judged by its end. It is like rent that pays off only in the end. However, the act of renting is not considered love of another. But making any movement only as a result of love of others, without any spark of reflected light or hope for any kind of reward in return, is completely impossible by nature. It is written in the Zohar about it with regard to the nations of the world. Every mercy or every grace that they do for themselves. This means that all the good that they do, either toward their friends or toward their God, is not for their love of others, but for self-love, since this matter is completely unnatural. Therefore, only those who observe Torah and Mitzvot are capable of this, since by accustoming themselves to observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to bring contentment to their Maker, they gradually depart from the bosom of the natural creation and acquire a second nature, being the above-mentioned love of others. This is what brought the sages of the Zohar to exclude the nations of the world from love of others, when they said, every grace that they do for themselves. For they are not involved in observing Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, and the only reason they serve their gods is for reward and salvation in this world and in the next. Thus their worship of their gods is because of self-love too, and they will never perform an act that is outside the boundaries of their own bodies, for which they will be able to lift themselves even as a hair's breadth above their basic nature.
Shilot.
Questions.
Well, Tzvika. No.
Go ahead.
A million times is he saying that therefore those who do Torah Mitzvot are qualified to do Torah Mitzvot only to give him contentment. What is the Torah Mitzvot that he's talking about?
Acts of bestowal.
Can you define what is acts of bestowal?
I also don't know. Something by which I bestow contentment to the Creator.
the actions by which I bestow contentment with the Creator are called mitzvot, or commandments. I perform them through the reforming light called Torah.
He said about the nations of the world, every grace they do for themselves.
So the will to receive, which is not yet corrected in order to bestow contentment with the Creator, is called the nations of the world. And as it gets corrected to some extent in order to bestow, it is called then a Jew or Israel. And so it is in each and every person.
And when do we come to the realization of the mitzvot?
You give the required exertion. It's called the se'ah, or the quota for the exertion. And then, through the light that constantly affected you, operated on you in small doses, through that, you will get to a state where you will receive the power of bestowal, each time a little more and a little more, until you will be similar to the Creator. And as He bestows to you, you will bestow to Him.
So until I get to the quality of bestowal, what are the mitzvot that we're doing? What's the work they're doing? How is it called?
It's called everything that they do for themselves.
For myself?
Of course, you have either for the Creator or for yourself, one of the two.
But right now I work for myself.
I don't know. You, I think yes.
No, I mean, until you're in the quality of bestowal, you don't get to anything. What is this work of the mitzvot? That's what I'm asking.
To draw the Torah, to continue the Torah, it refers to the reforming light. It's called the spice. Through the reforming light, you can, with your own will to receive, perform acts in order to bestow.
So, first we specified that the exertion depends on whenever we get there, we get to the end. We know when we reach the end of the exertion. We just learned about it. What does it mean that we'll... Is there a way of knowing when we come to fill the entire kli with our exertion?
The whole vessel? I don't know.
The whole part of the kli?
A part? You also can't say, you can say what part of the vessel, because you cannot see the whole kli. You cannot measure the entirety of your vessel. When will you get to the complete form of love of others?
For the time being, I didn't get to it.
So for the time being, measure the extent to which you have. How many of the people of the world do you love as you love yourself?
How can I measure it to know where I am?
Do you have at least one or two that you love as you love yourself?
I can't stand them.
Well, so you still don't have.
Didn't get there.
You still don't have the beginnings of the vessel, even in potential. So therefore, you are given a 10. Now try to come to a state where you begin to love them, where it's, you know, pleasant for you, and you feel that you're connected to them, with them, that you have something in common.
Is this love?
It's the beginnings of the construction of the vessel, yes.
No, because you're saying, you're confusing me here, you're saying, you have to come, well, I don't know if it fits, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, you have to reach hate before you discover love.
You discover love. If hatred is revealed, then you should know that it's there for you to add love, more love. All right? Is that fine? Is this text, what we read so far, is it clear? What do you want, Baruch?
Question, he writes twice. I also don't understand the connection between there's our work in love of others, a love of friends, and there has to be the help of the reflected light or the sparks of reflected light. Can you explain that? What the connection? How can we work with it practically?
There's nothing you can do practically. The reforming light, meaning by you returning all the abundance you get from the Creator, you return it to Him. That's the meaning of reflected light. Oh, Chozer. That's what he calls it. Yes.
What does it mean to return to the Creator all the good that I'm receiving?
To reach a state where you try to appreciate Him, and out of that to come to a good attitude towards Him, even love, and try to show Him your love. That's all. Continue being like Him only towards others, because you have nothing to do towards the Creator Himself, nothing to return to Him. New York.
Is there such a state where we do actions without self-love?
It is said that, yes, there are. When you acquire the intention in order to bestow, according to that, you reach actions which are in order to bestow, because it all depends on the intention, not on the act itself.
Actions in the society, for example, I see friends who come after a day of work and give everything in order to connect between them. Is that still self-love?
I cannot say if it's self-love or not. They need to say. Right. Each person has to be a judge unto himself. I don't judge another person, only to the side of merit.
All
right, let's continue. So we read through item 13. Let's continue to 14.
Okay, item 14. Thus we clearly see with both our eyes that toward those who observe Torah and mitzvot, lishma, there is no difference between the two parts of the Torah, even on the practical side. This is because before one accomplishes it, one is compelled to feel any act of bestowal, either towards another person or towards the Creator, as emptiness beyond conception. But through great effort, one slowly rises and attains a second nature, and then one attains the final goal, which is dvekut with Him. Since this is so, it is reasonable to think that the part of the Torah that deals with man's relationship with his friend is better capable of bringing one to the desired goal, since the work in mitzvot between man and God, is fixed and specific and is not demanding, and one becomes easily accustomed to it. And everything that is done out of habit is no longer useful. But the mitzvot between man and man are changing and irregular, and demands surround him wherever he turns. Hence, their cure is much more certain and their aim is closer.
Questions? Yes.
What is mitzvot between man and the Creator? Why are there these two parts? Why don't they write, for example, mitzvot between man and his friend, with the intention to bestow to him? Why is it two parts?
There is a general system, and there is the system of connections between a person and other people. And so that's how it is divided with respect to the person. He can relate to the general system, not in a personal way, to each and every individual. And that is, in fact, towards the Creator, because the Creator is the force that's within all of humanity, all of society, all the souls. You cannot speak about the light without a vessel. And there are actions which one carries out in a deliberate way towards the vessels. With respect to people and souls, there is a general system and its parts, right? That's all. The Creator is the general force, the general power present in the vessel He created from above down, from the top down. And the way one regards other people, that's from below upwards. That's also a way to divide it. That's the difference. More? Well, so let's continue.
Item 15. Now we can understand the words of Hillel HaNasi to the proselyte, that the essence of the Torah is love your friend as yourself. And the remaining 612 mitzvot are but an interpretation and preparation for it. And even the mitzvot between man and the Creator are regarded as a preparation for the mitzvah, for that mitzvah, which is the final aim emerging from the Torah and mitzvot.
Meaning that you don't have what you have nothing you need to do other than the general vessel, right? If you talk about the power, the force, the light, the essence with which this vessel needs to be filled, then you're speaking about the Creator. And if you're talking about a more discreet way with regards to certain souls, certain people, then you talk about things between man and his friend. But it's the same thing, only the general rule and the particular details of it.
As our sages said, the Torah and mitzvot were given only so as to cleanse Israel, which is the cleansing of the body until one acquires a second nature defined as love for others, meaning the one mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, which is the final aim of the Torah, after which one immediately obtains dvekut with him.
Meaning that if we work in such a way where we bestow and bestow and bestow to the friends, ultimately we will reach a state where we will discover discover a relationship with the general instead of the particular details. And then, but again, what is the collective of the whole of the Torah and the commandments, the sum total of it? It's not with respect to the Creator, love the Lord your God, but in a practical way, it is love your friend as thyself. You could say, and what about the Lord your God? You cannot love the Creator. What does it mean to love the Creator? Explain it to me. Where do you find this vessel to which you bestow? Who do you bestow to? I want to bestow contentment to the Creator. What does it mean, to the Creator? You want to bestow to the heir? To who? You can bestow only to his vessels, and those are the created beings. Where do you meet the Creator? In the vessels of the created beings. As you bestow to them, you feel that he is in them, and there is no creator without a created being. So what is your problem now?
No, many places they say, love the Lord your God with all your heart.
And they say, I'm explaining to you what truly is. They say, right, you need to love the Creator, you need to achieve equivalence of form, adhesion, all of that. Yes, but where do you apply all this? Where do you meet the Creator?
In the relationship with the friends, but still they say he's everywhere.
Yes, yes, so they say. So what? But I'm explaining to you what is. You have no other reality, existence of the Creator, except inside the created beings, and in them you meet him. And to bestow to him, that means to bestow to all of the created beings in general. And you cannot bestow to him. He is called the sum total, the collective. If you bestow to everyone in a complete way, then you aim towards him.
Who is everyone?
Everyone, the whole ten.
It's inside the ten.
You have nothing besides the ten.
In your work, you discover that everyone together joins to a single ten. Yeah, well, what do you want?
So, what would you call a mitzvah between the man and the creator?
The place, man and the place, meaning the place where the creator resides, which is, as it says, I dwell within my people.
Which is the collective.
The collective. You see, how much we have to approach this from all sides, and so on. All right? Yes or no? Today, you all are... Yeah.
To come to love thy friend as thyself, I need to first be in connection with the Creator and to feel his matter of what we call to do good to his creatures.
You have to discover his attitude to all created beings. This means that you discover his love. How do you discover that it's love? Because you also wish to discover your love to the created beings. And so to the extent that you wish to love them, you discover that he loves them, and then you both meet in that kli of the created beings.
Meaning one hastens the other.
What?
It's like the desire for loving the friend and love thy friend as thyself hastens also your connection with the Creator.
This is called Israel, the light and the Creator are one. There's two, you, the friend, and the Creator. This is how it appears. Now, we understand that the Creator himself does not exist except within the vessel of the created beings. And so you have to achieve love for the created beings, and by that you come to love the Creator, and in no other way. And so, yeah, what?
How to see that the Creator loves the friends?
According to how you love them, you discover the Creator loves them. Otherwise, you don't discover the vessel for his revelation.
Can I ask, it's like there's this confusion. We always say that it's impossible to love the Creator more than the friends. But you can't love the Creator at all.
Why? If I have a baby, which is the love of my soul, the most dear to me in life, and I discover that someone else also treats him well, then according to that, I start finding my love to that person who loves my baby. Do you understand that or not?
Is it clear to you or not what I said? So you think about what I said, not about your examples.
But how to see that he loves them, that I love them.
To the extent in which you love the baby, you discover from this general system, you discover that also the Creator loves him.
What if I don't?
That's called from the love of the created beings to love of the Creator. To the extent in which I love the creatures, I discover in them that the Creator loves them.
And if at the moment I don't have the kli for
if you
love,
don't, you don't. There's nothing to talk about. And poor you. That's the complaint? Yes, Shai.
Let's say I really don't want my friends to, you know, fly to space. And I just find one day that the gravity keeps them, guards them. How can I love gravity? Why does it need me to love it? It's a force of nature. So,
yes.
So how are we talking about love of the Creator or loving God?
But you discover, according to your attitude towards gravity, you discover your attitude of gravitation towards you. If you, again, if you discover that you love the friends, you start to discover within the friends that someone loves them. And then, towards that same source which loves the friends, you have an attitude like to the friends. Therefore, it can't be that there will be a love of the Creator more than the love of the created beings. Yes?
It's a force towards an abstract, love towards an abstract force?
No, it's love. It's real love. It's where I appreciate him as precious. To the extent that he is more precious than myself. What does it mean, love? Love is a, you weigh what's more, what's less. If I appreciate him more than myself, then it's considered that I love him and not myself.
Well, that force, I feel like I have to relate that, just to check. Let's say I'm told that this force of love in nature, called the Creator, came from something called His Essence, then I can relate it to something and, let's say, love His Essence. But just a force, it's difficult to understand.
No, you see how he relates to the one that you love. You love your baby, and the Creator also relates with love towards your baby. So from that, you have also love for the Creator.
Even though it's a force, it's just a force, just like gravity. Can you love it?
No, he shows his attitude. Gravity has no free choice or anything. It operates, period. It's a force without decision, intellect, or anything. The Creator is something that relates on purpose to someone that you love. That's why you're relating to Him. I understand that you can't love the force, but what you're searching here is that this force here, you attribute reality, personality. Out of what? Out of you moving through all kinds of opposite states. The fact that he loves can also be not loving, even hate, even to bring torments, God forbid, to something so precious to you. From a thing and its opposite, you develop a human attitude towards him. A personal attitude. You attribute independence to him. Choice between good and bad. And then you have an attitude towards him like to you, according to the same tendencies.
And where is the thin line between making a statue and an image that we can't do?
You do not differentiate him from his action. That's called to make an idol and a mask, is where you differentiate the operator and the operation and say that he has a personality. He's like this, he's like that, he's like that. That is what Baal HaSulam warns us about, that we don't talk about him.
Ken Cohen.
Yes, Cohen.
I wish to love my friends, I really do. But something put a nature inside of me that doesn't let me.
Right?
How to love?
That made me that I'm not able to do this thing to love the friends.
Good.
Wonderful. Meaning you already don't hate the friends, you hate that which bothers you to love your friends. Wonderful, yes. And who is it? The Creator. The Creator, what are you afraid to say?
Yes, yes, yes.
So then I start to... So
then I start to ask. I ask him to correct me to love them.
Yes, and he doesn't want. It's like he's saying, I hate them, and you're going to hate them too. And we'll be together, connected, adhered.
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
Then I discover that I'm asking it for me.
Then I just start.
Yes.
But I want to love them on his behalf. But it doesn't equalize if I ask to fix something in me so that I could accomplish my desire, which is to love them. It gets all mixed up.
You'd like to grab him, and it doesn't work out. He's kind of running away from you all the time.
Yes, he's lucky he's so invisible.
Yes.
What to do? Again and again, my nature keeps me from doing good for others.
It's not your nature. You're a Kohen. Kohens are especially very cruel. Levites are also somewhat, but the Kohens even more. Your nature is bad. But you now, during the study, slowly, slowly, are beginning to think that it's important to come to love of friends. Because nevertheless, out of that, I'm advancing. I'll become a human being. I'll become an Adam. And the Creator's not letting you. On one hand. On the other hand, you're learning that in order to obligate him, there are several conditions that you have to observe. And then he will do it. But those conditions, you must observe. The 10. Connection in the 10. Care for them. In thought. Well, and more in short. Until you observe your connection with the 10, you won't have your connection with the Creator. Let's say you have it's like a train. It's like rooms after rooms. It's like you have to do one room and another room and another room until you go through all of them. You include within yourself a force that's in each and of those rooms. And so you have to go through those 9 rooms, like those 9 carriages, until you come to a state where you can talk with the Creator, meet him, and begin to do actions with him for the 10 that you just went through.
I sit here,
yes,
or at home, wherever I am, I squeeze my desire in the direction of their benefit. To the point where I'm worried about my blood pressure. I really squeeze it.
You don't need to do such efforts. The efforts need to be pleasant. And not with pressure and annoyance or anger, pleasant, in comfort, in pleasance, in a nice feeling, in a nice, pleasant way.
It's difficult to describe. But it's extremely pleasant for me. It's extremely pleasant for me when I'm
speaking English, well.
Over their benefit.
Do that too, but in soft, in a soft way. Kind of the translation softly.
Something slightly off, but it's pleasant for me to agonize in the direction of their benefit.
Repeat, please. Repeat.
It's extremely pleasant for me to agonize in the direction of their benefit.
התועלת שלהם. בסדר.
Okay. You just don't need to do it with force, with pressure. You need to do it in a softness of the heart. Pay attention, it's very important. A true spiritual action is in comfort, in softness. It usually starts with pressures, if you feel that you can do the same things, but with love, in softness, in connection, in pleasance, then you're closer to the correct implementation.
If I place myself in a certain posture that at first is very uncomfortable and against my natural posture, eventually, over repetition, I relax to it and the correct desire just comes and a real prayer arrives. But it feels like great pressure in the meantime until I get to the point of where it's comfortable for me. I don't know how to.
Sim lev she'ata lo lochetz al atzmecha.
Make sure that you're not pressuring yourself, but on the contrary, in pleasance, you want to be in love, in a comfort, and scrutinize there additional discernments for you to advance with. That's what's missing. Where are we?
We are in...
Oh, we haven't done anything yet. Okay, read.
And we should not question why didn't he define in the verse love thy friend as love your God with all your heart and might and soul. Towards the person who is still in the nature of creation, there's no difference for him at all between loving the Creator and loving one's friend, because everything that is other to him, that is out except for himself, is outside reality. And since that proselyte asked Hillel Anasi to explain to him the general desired purpose of the Torah, to be closer to the goal and not walk too far, he told him, teach me the whole Torah while standing on one leg. And he gave him the definition of loving his friend, because this is a greater, closer goal, because it is guarded from mistakes and...
Okay, continue.
Item 16. In the above words, we find a way to understand our concept from above about the contents of that mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, how the Torah compels us to do something that cannot be done. Indeed, know that for that reason, the Torah was not given to our holy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but was held until the Exodus from Egypt, when they came out and became a complete nation of 600,000 men of 20 years of age and or more. For then, each member of the nation was asked if he agreed to do that exalted work. And once each and every one in the nation agreed to it with heart and soul, and said, "We will do and we will hear," it became possible to observe the whole of the Torah, and that which was previously impossible became possible. This is because it is certain that if 600,000 men abandon their work for the satisfaction of their own needs and worry about nothing but standing guard, so their friends will not lack a thing, and moreover, they will engage in this with great love, with their very heart and soul, in the full meaning of the mitzvah, love your friend as yourself. It is then beyond doubt that no one in the nation will need to worry about his own well-being. Because of this, one becomes completely free of securing his own survival and can easily observe the mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, obeying all the conditions given in items 3 and 4. After all, why would he worry about his own survival when 600,000 loyal lovers stand by, ready with great care to make sure he lacks nothing of his needs? Therefore, once all the members of the nation agreed, they were immediately given the Torah, for now they were completely capable of observing it. But before they grew into a complete nation, and certainly during the time of the fathers, who were unique in the land, they were not truly qualified to observe the Torah in its desirable form. Since with a small number of people it is impossible to even begin with engagement in mitzvot between man and man to the extent of love your friend as yourself, as explained in the items 3 and 4. That is why they were not given the Torah.
Question for a workshop. How can we observe this condition called Arvut in the Ten? At last. Are we coming close to this? Do we feel that we need? What are we missing? Are we getting closer to it or not? Please. We need to concentrate constantly on the work in the Ten. The Creator gave us a place, gave us friends, and all the force and might to love them like the Creator loves them. Yeah, we're really getting close to Arvut. Some of the Ten is already in Arvut and is praying for the friends and caring. And with all the forces that are... What's missing? To feel it. There's no doubt that we're getting closer. It's also probably some stage that we must begin with this, otherwise we can't advance. How can we start? Even with the smallest things. Things that we can easily locate and see and also circumvent, meaning help one another with. Whether it's in all the physical external things that we observe and do, we want to see how hard it is for us to observe this, and that we have a need for each other, and to awaken a certain prayer for one another, and then slowly we will come to such an attitude of caring and loving, where the Creator will illuminate the eyes of each and every one, give us forces and abilities. What's missing is to see that the Ten is already in a state of Arvut towards me, and it's clear that they're getting closer because each time it seems more distant because the Creator is giving us more place to work, to make up the work of the Creator in the Ten with me.
Yeah, it seems farther, and yet it also seems more tangible and practical, that this is the solution and this is the force we need to use. To ask the Creator to give us the power to not let it go.
By us giving an example to one another of devotion, of Rav, can we depict a state in the ten in which the Creator is revealed? Can we depict to ourselves in the ten a state in which the Creator is revealed? What are you looking at me? What's the difference between that which is desirable and what we have? What's happening now? And the connection and the relations between us and all that's happening? And the state which is suitable for the revelation of the Creator? Where are we relative to that? Are we examining that every day? Are we getting closer or not? What efforts are we doing daily so that it will be revealed? It all depends on the kilim. Please. The question, to the extent in which our state is coming closer to the state of revelation of the Creator. Do you want more, Tzvika? I'll ask it differently. What am I doing every day that's a step forward towards me revealing the Creator in my ten? Which depends on me only. There are no others. It all depends on me. What am I doing to discover the Creator in the ten, which the Creator established for me? Well, answer. Answer to them. For me, it doesn't matter. I know this already. That's how it is with everyone. Please.
We have a test from day to day on how much we add love between us. How can I be a more contributing part in the system, more bestowing towards the friends? There's a need to amplify that daily. Otherwise, the will to receive gives you more and more excuses and pulling you down.
What am I doing every day as a step forward to reveal the Creator in the ten? We're truly going through such states that are not simple. I feel every day a sense, descents, and just like we went through with the taste of the dust. Rav, can I measure how every day I'm doing more and more annulment towards my ego in order to incorporate with the friends to the extent in which I can reveal one force that dwells there? Please.
Yeah, it's really felt everyone's effort to reach the center of the ten.
Yeah, from the force of the effort, you can feel that the Creator is operating in the common efforts.
I'd say it's more a kind of a war. Sometimes a person manages to do something, and other times he's pulling away. But maybe our progress is that we find more and more necessity for mutual aid, for support, for praying to the Creator to help us in our state, and our vood that has to be between us in order to really make a step forward.
I think we can check it in a practical way, in the extent that I'm in connection and thought about the Creator, attributing everything that happens to me to the Him. the ability to do this is a direct relation of how I'm attributing it to the ten, and I'm saying that I want and I'm in it and not imagining him outside of the ten.
Also, looking at the sharp states we go through and seeing how possible even is to let go, and without the Creator we can't even move. We're going to read item 17. From all the above, we can understand one of the most perplexing phrases of our sages. All of Israel are responsible for one another. This seems to be completely unjust. For is it possible that if someone sins or commits a sin that upsets his maker, and I have no acquaintance with him, the Creator will collect his debt from me? It is written, fathers will not be put to death for children, etc., and each man will be put to death for his own sin. So how can they say that I'm responsible for the sins of even a complete stranger, of whom I know neither him nor his whereabouts? And if that is not enough for you, see Masechet Kiddushin. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says, since the world is judged by its majority, and the individual is judged by its majority, if he performed one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced the world to the side of merit. And if he commits one sin, woe unto him, for he has sentenced himself and the world to the side of sin. As it is said, one sinner destroyeth much good. Thus, Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, has made me responsible for the whole world, since he thinks all the people in the world are responsible for one another, and each person brings merit or sin to the whole world by his deeds. This is twice as perplexing. But according to the above said, we can understand the words very simply. We have shown that each of the 613 mitzvot in the Torah revolves around that single mitzvah, love your friend as yourself. And we find that such a state can only exist in a complete nation whose every member agrees to it.
Meaning the same ten is just more and more being revealed that all of reality is in it. But a person can't see more than the ten, and then it turns out that his ten is truly all of reality, all of Malchut Avin Sof, the whole Holy Shekhinah, and that is where all of Naran Chai is revealed. Okay? We need to move to Pticha. The preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, 190. On the same book.
We'll move on to the next part of the lesson and we'll sing a song before that.
נשפיע, ביחד נגיע, ביחד נצעד אליך לאהבה.